You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, June 11th, episode 3710, brought to you today by Stateline Tack. Good morning, horse people.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic, horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world.
Let's go!
Happy Wednesday!
Well, thank you for joining us, everybody. We appreciate it. You know, with all the smoke in parts of the USA, we thought it was time to talk about air quality. And we have Michelle DuBauer with us, and she's going to go over that. She has a chart that's really handy that you're all going to want to make a copy of or take a picture of.
And yeah, this is really good information for sure.
And then in our Home for Every Horse Rescue of the Month, we meet Cherry Tapley from the Nalani Horse Rescue in Virginia. I know you were thinking Hawaii, but she explains how she got that name. Plus, we have a pony for you today, a little Hackney pony that's up for adoption that you can go get.
Oh my God, you need it.
And then also, weird news. We have some weird news.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. And in the post show, what are we talking about in the post show?
Well, I had such an exciting morning and I'm going to tell you about it.
Okay, sounds good. There's something else that's going to kill us. You know, right now, there's a lot of things going on in the world, right? And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, we got smoke and we got all the things going on in the country and all of that, like we needed something else. Well, there is something else, and it's called the Asian needle ant.
Oh my God, what?
Now, the Asian needle ant can carry potentially fatal stings, and they've spread across multiple states, and experts are warning people to be cautious when spending time outdoors. Let me read to you about the Asian needle ant. They're an invasive species that have been found in more than a dozen states from Washington to Florida, but it is expanding more rapidly to the southern states. I'm so happy to hear that. People who have strong reactions to bee stings or wasp stings or yellow jackets should be especially careful. They said, carry your EpiPen. The insect has been here since the 1930s, but has only recently started to disrupt local ecosystems by competing with other ant species. So they're having a war, and these guys are winning. The Asian needle ants are tiny, about a fifth of an inch long, and are dark brown or black with a light orange brown on their antenna and legs. They can be difficult to notice. This makes them really fun. They can be difficult to notice because, unlike fire ants, for example, they don't build mounds or establish foraging trails like other ants do. They prefer
to live
under logs, stones, and in leaf litter. Any place, you know, you go to pick something up and you can't see under, any place with high moisture like that. So researchers,
and do they feel like a one of those, like a wasp or
didn't
something?
Didn't say what the sting feels like, but I would say if you get a sting, and they're tiny, so I don't know how you're supposed to know you got stung by one unless you actually see it. But they said, you know, if you think you have them, you should call the exterminator right away. Don't waste any time. Get rid of them because they're not fun. So there you go. Asian needle ants, just what you wanted to hear about today.
I swear to God, it's like the murder hornets and all the COVID and all this stuff. It's now we just sensationalize everything that might kill you. Although the screw worm thing seems to be pretty legit, and I'm a little concerned.
I'm trying to get somebody on about the screw worm. Yeah, you live in Oklahoma, which isn't too far from Texas, which is close to Mexico. So, I mean, you're going to be first. We're first for all the really exotic stuff that's going to kill you. You know, like the Australian stuff seems to come to Florida first.
That's because everybody smuggles it into Miami.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. And leave it go in the Everglades. That's what they do. All right, let's do some Daily Winnies, hopefully with some happier news than that. Well, happy birthday to one of our auditors, Christy Parsons. Happy birthday to you. We hope you have a fantastic day.
I had just a great morning. So I'm going to give my daily whinny to guess who came to visit this morning?
Who?
Farm Boy. Farm Boy came back.
I thought he was away somewhere.
Well, what he did was he and his girlfriend decided to travel. They have, I guess he doesn't start his job till August. And so they spent the last almost month traveling around Europe and had a great time. Cool. And I didn't think I'd see him again, but he texted me yesterday. He's like, hey, I'm in town. Can I come out and ride? I was like, heck yeah. So I'm going to talk about Groot in the post show because he rode Groot, but it was just... And the farrier came and like, I've kind of been a little depressed being down at the barn. I mean, it's been enjoyable, but fairly depressing to go from like a full house to I'm by myself again, you know, kind of thing. So it was nice to have
somebody
to
talk to. You had friends
and
now you don't have any friends.
I know. I'm all alone. And I'm like, ooh, Farm Boy's here. The farrier's here. My husband's here. I'm like, this is great. And then I'm like, I got to go to work. Bye.
Yeah, bye. See y'all. So did he wear his cowboy hat the entire time he was backpacking through Europe?
You know, that's a question only you would ask. I didn't ask that.
I just picked
probably
it.
Not. It seems fairly awkward to have a cowboy hat on the plane. You know, like
or the train or the
or the train. Yeah,
yeah. They had a good time though.
Yeah. So he said the best food was in Northern Italy, where the boats are, Venice. He said Venice was the best food that they had, hands down. The best history was in Rome. The most fun they had was in Munich, and the most dangerous that was where was this other town in Italy? Let me look it up here. Naples, I think it was Naples, and I got to look up Italy here.
It's dangerous because
it just. Not super friendly, you know. Yeah, Naples. He was like, yeah, Naples I could have done without.
Well, it sounds like they had a blast. That's great.
Yeah, they had a great time. Went to Switzerland and like looked at the mountains. And he was like, that was good. You know, I think we spent too much time there because there wasn't anything else to do but look at mountains. And it's really expensive. It's like, yeah, I heard that. But they had a great time. And it was nice to have somebody to... Have my partner back out here again.
Yay. That goes away in a couple of days, I assume.
Yeah, he's coming back tomorrow morning, though. Woohoo! So I've got like two whole days.
His girlfriend's letting you have him for two whole days. She's sick of him after a month. Here, go play with Jamie.
You should go call Jamie.
Yeah. Go over there for a couple of days. I'll be back.
Right. That's true.
Get ready to giddy up. State Line Tax huge Ariat sale is stampeding your way. That's right. We're talking the biggest savings you've ever seen on your favorite Ariat gear, and there's a ton of it in there. Limited quantities, though, so get on over there today. They have deals on Ariat boots, classic ropers, Western performers. They have jeans. They have clothing, shirts, jackets, all of that. Head on over to, we'll put the link directly to the sale in our show notes at State Line Tax, so you want to click on that. So I know that a lot of you love Ariat. I know that Ariat's not cheap and that what you look for a sale for it, well, this is one to check out. They might have your size, might not, but it's worth taking a look at statelinetac.com. And we'll put it's a longer link for the sale. So we'll put that in there. And also don't forget, use coupon code HRN at checkout. Not all products apply because if they're already on drastic discount, they don't apply, but just put HRN at checkout anytime you check out a State Line Tack, and it'll automatically apply to all the products that are eligible. HRN is the coupon code. StateLineTack.com is the website. Well, in conjunction with our partner, Home for Every Horse, we bring you our Rescue of the Month, which is Nalani Horse Rescue, which you would imagine with a name like that would be in Hawaii, but it's not. So we have Cherry Tapley here. Cherry, where are you at?
I am actually in Northern Virginia in the beautiful Virginia horse country.
How did Nalani, which sounds very Hawaiian, become the name?
So it's interesting. I was searching for a name. I really wanted to create heaven for horses who've been through trauma, neglect, abuse. And I searched for the right name and found Nalani. One of the people that was involved in the beginning has a Hawaiian heritage, so it was, you know, it made sense to look at Hawaiian words, and Nalani actually means the heavens.
Oh wow, okay, well that's perfect then. Yay.
Great.
And you know, Virginia is very pretty too, so you've got that going for you to start. So tell me, how did you get into the rescue business? From what I understand, you did it late.
I did. So I was that horse crazy little girl that was just obsessed with everything horse, but never really had an opportunity to be around them. And it was later in life, I was married and had kids, and my kids were kind of getting in that more independent stage. And I took my first riding lesson, and I was just wanting to learn very quickly because I felt like it was late in my life, and I was always researching and watching YouTube videos on how to do everything. And I actually stumbled across a website for a horse rescue. And when I read the story about the horse that was on the front of the webpage, it just broke my heart. And I thought, well, I just want to do something to help. But I was so new to the horse world that I thought, well, I can't possibly rescue horses, but I could do something. And time went by, and I just gained more experience with horses and immersed myself and ended up rescuing one horse, and just figured, okay, well, maybe I'll just rescue one horse at a time, and eventually started this nonprofit. And now, you know, it's a full-blown nonprofit organization. So never really imagined that I would be where I am now, but it's been a great journey.
You know, what's funny is you probably described 25% of our audience in that they didn't start till later with horses.
Oh, wow.
You know, okay. not a lot of them went
That's
into rescuing like you.
Right.
But, and you can never just rescue one. That's a rule, I think.
It just doesn't work way, right?
So how many do you tend to have at a time? And do you try and rehome them?
So when I started out, I really knew nothing. And I just figured, oh, it'll be easy. I'll just rescue horses that aren't in horrific shape. I'll never go to an auction. I'll just rescue horses that are kind of falling through the cracks and get them rehabbed and adopt them out. That was my plan. And of course, the first horse that I rescued is actually still with me because nothing is ever easy. But I do rescue now. I do go to the auction where I rescue a lot of horses that are older. So my original plan of the rehab rehome, that still is part of my program. But I also started a sanctuary piece for horses who, you know, maybe they're older, they just have a couple years of life left, or maybe they've been through it. They might be younger, but they've just had so much trauma that it takes so long for them to trust us that I just want them to just have a permanent home with us. So I kind of have both pieces right now.
Well, yeah, it's so cool that you do that because it just, you know, at least they die loved, right? I mean, that's...
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
And fed.
Right. Yeah. Just a happy end of life, certainly.
Well, and that's tough emotionally, isn't it, though, for you?
Oh, gosh. It's very tough. I mean, you know, it's tough either way. I mean, the rehoming part, I have a horse that's being adopted and going out tomorrow. And I started crying last night because, you know, I mean, either way, I have to say goodbye. And
true.
I do stay in touch with all of my adopters. But, you know, I didn't realize when I signed up for this that I was signing up to have my heart broken over and over and over. But having said that, I mean, it's just so rewarding. It's so worth it. So...
Well, and you know that what you've done for the horses has allowed them to go to another home, right? So where they'll be loved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that makes room for me to rescue another one.
Right.
So
right.
So it's all good.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can just have more and break your heart all the time.
Exactly. Right.
So you're in Virginia. Is it, you know, do you have a big place or, you know, did you have the place before you started the rescue or did that come after?
No. So... Yeah. So I've moved around a couple times, but we've been at the farm where we are now. It's a private farm. I don't own it. I have use of part of it. It's a 240 acre property. It's absolutely gorgeous.
Oh, that's nice.
And
yeah.
The owner actually reached out to me. She's very much on board with my mission and invited the rescue to come there. And, you know, we do pay her to be there, but she's, you know, she's certainly cutting us a deal and it works out really well for us, but we've got a certain part of the farm that's just dedicated to us. So
how cool is that? I mean, that was meant to be, right?
Absolutely meant to be.
Yeah, she reached out to you. Because that is a battle that a lot of rescues have, is they don't have the space, right?
The land,
yeah.
Right. And Virginia, I mean, where I live is expensive. Land is very expensive here. Yes,
yeah.
Northern Virginia, yeah.
Yeah, horse country, but expensive horse country.
Expensive horse country, exactly.
Although the rest of the country is getting that way, too. I don't. there's fewer
That's
and
true.
Fewer less expensive places anymore. They're all going up. So we, on this segment, we always like, one, to highlight rescues that are doing good work and who are sanctioned. And I know you are, right? I know
yes,
you're with Home for Every Horse, but you have others,
yes.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah, so Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries is the big one. That's a very difficult certification to get. And I wanted to get that because I felt like, you know, I had imposter syndrome because I did start this so late. And I wanted to make sure that I was doing everything to the, you know, the best that I could. So I'm really proud of that one.
Well, we're going to talk about your adoptable horse of the month that one of our listeners can go get. But first, I wanted to ask you, do you have a particular rescue story that's close to your heart? That's one stands out. I know there's a lot, but is there one that just stands out?
Yeah, there's a lot. Well, one, and I'll try to make a long story short, but there was one who was a thoroughbred who was bred to race, and her name was Silver. She was actually bred about 45 minutes away from where the rescue is. Well, she ended up in a farm in upstate New York where a horse dealer went to buy a couple horses and saw her basically rotting in the barn and said, "What's the deal with that horse?" And he said, "Oh, I got her at some livestock auction in Ohio." He said, "Can I take her?" And then he reached out to me and asked me if I would take her. So she ends up with me. She's a thoroughbred, obviously. So I was able to look up her tattoo. I found her breeding farm, reached out. The only information I can find was on LinkedIn. Sent a message, never heard anything back. A year later, we have dealt with everything with this horse, but she was just so, she had had a really tough life and was very, it just seemed like her heart was broken, and that's the hardest part to heal. So about a year later, I got a call on a Friday night, and it was the breeder, and some crazy set of circumstances had led her to her LinkedIn to look at her messages, and she found my message, and she had actually been searching for that horse for years. She had lost track of her. So this horse ended up, she is now back with the breeder, the original breeder.
That's cool. Because, you know, right. A lot of them don't care. But obviously this one
they
did.
Don't. Right. Yeah. And the thing that's just crazy are the circumstances of being, you know, just ending up, she could have ended up anywhere, but 45 minutes away from the breeder. So that was another meant to be thing.
Well, that's a really cool story. There's the unique ones, right? That make it all worthwhile right there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So when
there's always some sort of like meant to be component. It just seems like all the horses that come to me have a story. There's a reason. There's, you know, just such the cool things that happen that you see. Just it's kind of that like, okay, I'm on the right path here.
My pony, I rescued a Hackney pony about 10 years ago with starving case, probably a 1 out of 10 on the scale. And we pretty much were convinced he was just going to die in the trailer on the way home, you know. But, you know, I thought the same thing you did, at least still die loved and with food. Mm-hmm. But you've learned a lot about taking care of these sad cases, and it's not easy. I mean, there's, you know, you have to be very careful and you have to take it slow, and you want to do more for them. You want to feed them all right away and you can't. And, you know, so you've come a long way from knowing nothing to where you are now.
That's very true. The thing that I didn't take into account, there was a lot to learn, obviously, about the physical piece of bringing a starved horse back to health and, you know, all the things that go along with that.
Yeah, you think you just feed him, but you don't. I mean, it's not.
No, you don't. Yeah. But the mental piece is you know, I didn't take that into account, that obviously there's just, you know, horses are so intelligent and sensitive, and there's a mental component that is more difficult. A lot of times I can get their bodies healthy far before I get their minds healthy. So
I wish Jamie was dealing with a fairy right now when we're doing this, but I wish she was on, because she retrains thoroughbreds for a rescue out in Oklahoma and then finds some homes, and they've adopted out like a couple hundred of them. But she would agree with you wholeheartedly that, you know, she can deal with the physical side, but the mental side is the part that takes the time.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we always do a horse or a pony that's up for adoption from the organization that we're talking to that month. And I really like that you picked Cricket. Tell us about Cricket.
So Cricket is a little Hackney pony that
of course
I rescued.
I like that.
Right? I rescued him from he was at the New Holland Sale Stable, which is, if
know
you know,
well.
If people don't know, it's an, you know, right. It's a, you know, end of the line, you know, it's not a good place. And
they cleaned it up a little. No,
still not. I think they have. It's maybe not as bad as it used to be. It's still not great.
Yeah,
so
that's sad.
You know, and it's definitely like, as far as, you know, it's kind of like last resort at that, which is one of the reasons why I go there. So I typically try to find the horse that needs it the most. And Cricket was he was pretty emaciated. I don't know if he was a 1, he might've been a 2, and just seemed just so sad. His, you know, their eyes, he was just so sad. And so I chose him as the one that I would rescue. And then they go to quarantine and they come to me. And he is just the sweetest personality. He's a little timid and shy because he's been through some stuff, but he's about 25 years old just based on his teeth. So I'm not looking for a riding home for him. He is just the most gentle soul who
He's
just
so cute too.
is,
Look at his picture.
oh my gosh, he is adorable. He has these big eyes that make him, he looks like a baby because he
He
has
does have
these big
huge eyes.
eyes,
I thought there
right?
was something wrong with
And
him.
no, it just makes him look like a baby face. So
It
people are
does.
always like, oh, that's a baby. And I'm like, no, that's a 25-year-old pony. But he is super gentle. He loves children. I know he had to have been around children in his life. He just is really drawn to children. Some of my volunteers have very young children, and so they come out and visit, and he seems to kind of light up around little kids. And he's just super easy for everything. He's just his he needs somebody who just wants a pony to love on. And he's great with the herd. Of course, he's very low. He just goes where he's told, but he's not barn sour. He has a buddy, but my horses live in a herd. So in the herd of five geldings, he is mostly attached to one. But when that horse goes out, he doesn't scream for him or anything. He just hangs out with the other
He's
horses.
just happy to have
And
company.
he honestly, yeah, he is. But you know how they kind of choose a best
Yep,
friend, which is
yep.
cute to watch. So he does have his best friend, but when that one leaves, he's even comfortable, kind of, he'll wander off away from the herd, like, I'm going to go get this grass over here. So he's pretty independent and he's gained a lot of confidence. He's come a long way.
I assume he's like 12, 13 hands.
Oh, he's like 13 hands.
Yeah,
Yeah, he's tiny.
that's what
Yes.
usually the Hackney ponies are. And mine happens to be the
He's
fattest version
precious.
of a Hackney pony ever. But so he's gained weight. He looks good.
Yeah, he still has some weight to gain, because it has been just since December that we've had him. But and it's hard to gain weight through the winter, as
Yeah,
you know.
especially in
So yeah,
Virginia.
he's got a little weight to gain, but he's doing well. He's thriving. And there's so many other like skin issues and all that stuff. And he looks so good. I mean, now because we've been able to bathe him, and he's great for the farrier. He's just the cutest little most precious soul.
All right. If anybody's looking for a little Hackney sweetheart, this sweetheart is named Cricket, and we're going to put a link directly to Cricket in the show notes. And then they can contact you if they're interested and go through the application process and all of that, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
Okay. Very good. And again, we're in Northern Virginia, and it is called the Nalani Horse Rescue. What town are you in?
It's called Broad Run. It's kind of near the Plains, Warrenton, Gainesville,
Okay.
that
So this
area,
gives somebody
Broad Run.
an idea if they live up that way. So Maryland, Pennsylvania, Virginia, that area. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Well, Cherry, thank you so much for joining us. You can also go on and obviously see all the other ponies that are there. You can find those at nalanihr.org, and we'll put links to all of that in the show notes. Thanks for joining us. You've been delightful.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
This Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine Non-GMO Core Nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. I would like to welcome Michelle DeBoer on with Equine PhD. And you're up in the Minnesota, Wisconsin area. So how is it up there right now?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I mean, we've been on and off dealing with some smoke from the fires, but enjoying overall the better summers compared to our winters. So I'll take that.
Absolutely. Well, I've just been so concerned about everybody up north with the Canadian fires. And so you put out this air quality guidelines for horses, and I thought it would be great to have you on to talk about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I think it's definitely a very pertinent issue right now with all the smoke and everything we've been dealing with, especially up in these northern states.
So the air quality index, AQI, like if I look at my Apple iPhone and just check out like Apple Weather, it gives me an air quality number. And I think pretty much everybody does, but I've never really known like what that number really meant. You know what I mean? So it's interesting to have does this work for humans kind of as well?
So this is actually designed for humans, and we've kind of modified those recommendations to also apply to horses, because, you know, the same pollutants that are going to impact our air quality as people are going to impact the air quality for our horses as well. So ultimately a human derived index that we have just kind of translated over into how we would interpret it for horses.
Fantastic. This is going to make so much more sense now, because the air quality here in Norman right now is 59. And the first kind of number that you have, the green light, is 0 to 50, which is all activities are appropriate for healthy horses and humans, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
Is the air quality ever, where would one find zero in air quality?
Oh, good question. I don't pay attention too much once until we get above 50, but I think, you know, a lot of the times when I've looked at it, we do see it kind of below that 50 mark. It's, you know, I think where we're at right now, we're in the mid 70s, so getting a little higher, but I know last week we're creeping above 150. So, you know, I don't think people pay too much attention to it until we start getting out of that green area.
Northern Canada is the answer to your, Jamie.
Antarctica. We need to go to the North Pole or South Pole to get the perfect one. So, yeah. So 0 to 50, all activities are appropriate. Even on a normal day here in Norman, we're sitting at 59. So talk us kind of through these numbers.
Yeah. So basically they kind of start out in like 50 ranges, right? 0 to 50, 51 to 100. And, you know, as we begin increasing it, you know, it starts off, you know, everyone's good. Then it's like, you know, maybe we're going to be more concerned about horses who have these underlying respiratory issues or cardiovascular issues. And then, you know, as we keep going, now it's like, okay, now our healthy horses, now we're concerned about them. Let's decrease the amount of exercise and activity they're doing. And then it kind of gets to a point where it's like, halt everything. You know, this could really affect their health. So let's try to find additional ways to help horses kind of manage those conditions. And so it's a scale of 0 to 500, you know. Once we get above, you know, 200 is very unhealthy, but even above 150, we're saying like, let's only walk our horses. Let's not, you know, really be doing too much with them.
Okay. So 0 to 50, all good. Green light, yellow light, 51 to 100. And that's if you have any sort of like underlying issues, maybe just be aware.
Yeah.
And then 100 to 150 is just for sensitive groups, like, oh, and who in a horse world would you consider a sensitive group?
Yeah, so I'm really thinking of any horse that might have underlying respiratory issues. I mean, we have like a pony who has either heaves or allergies. Haven't quite, you know, figured that one out yet, but either of those, you know, under certain conditions, you know, her breathing might be impacted, whether it's high work, you know, dusty hay, you know, these would be conditions that could also kind of cause those respiratory problems to flare up. So I'd say that's probably your big one, is going to be your heaves or horses who are prone to allergies is kind of who I'd target in that demographic. Sometimes our old or young horses can also be more susceptible to those problems as well.
And then we've got 151 to 200, which is unhealthy for all horses. What would be an example of where we would see a 151 to 200 just like in the air?
So we had, I believe it was last week when I made this post, I think we were sitting above, we were definitely above 150. I don't remember the exact number, but I thought it was the 160s or 170s. And that was just from drift from that, the smoke that was coming from the Canadian wildfires.
Gotcha. Okay. So maybe like wildfire adjacent or something like that, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gotcha. So like in this kind of situation, like free radicals and stuff, are those what you're kind of breathing in kind of thing?
So we're really concerned about a lot of the gases. And so I kind of mentioned in this post that we have these like tiny particles that we kind of refer as PM2.5. And so these are 2.5 micrometers or smaller. And so that's going to be one of the biggest concerns we have when we're talking about this like smoke inhalation to an extent. And that's going to be a big issue because you think of like your allergens and pollens and things that the horse is breathing in. A lot of times those particles are bigger and they only kind of hang out in the upper respiratory tract and the horse can work to expel them within 24 hours. These tiny particles are going to be getting down into the lower respiratory tract, which is really going to, you know, impact things like our gas exchange. It can cause damage of those tissues. And those have about a 90-day half-life. So it takes a long time for the horse to basically be able to combat those tiny particles that enter their lungs. And so it's kind of some of these gases and it's, you know, these tiny particles that we kind of use for this air quality index that can be really detrimental to their health.
Now, speaking of health, like obviously coughing is one thing, but what are some subtle signs that you might miss or you need to know about if your horse could be potentially struggling with air quality?
Yeah. So one thing I always do is listen to the respiratory, like calculate that respiratory rate. How many breaths per minute are they taking? You know, we tend to strive for kind of that 8 to 14. There are some people that say even up to 20 or so is going to be normal. So I think knowing your horse's baseline respiratory rate, right? Every horse kind of has a different normal. So what's their baseline? And then you can take that respiratory rate to see, is it elevated? You know, are they struggling with breathing? Heart rate as well, you know, just the cardiovascular system and the respiratory system are linked together pretty closely with that gas exchange and all of that. So I'd say respiratory rate, heart rate, those would be great things to monitor, just like listening to their breathing, right? Either just holding your ear up to the rib cage area, right? How does that sound? Those would all be some subtle things that you could look at to monitor how they're handling it.
Gotcha. And when the AQI air quality index hits something like in the extreme, unhealthy, hazardous kind of range, what specific changes would you do? Like, oh my God, I got to do this for my horse. The air's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, you know, when you're anywhere above 150, some of the things I'd be looking at would be, you know, one, just limiting their work, right? I don't need to encourage them to breathe more and deeper and where these particles are going to be present. I think making sure they have plenty of water, it's fresh, clean water that they can drink, will also kind of help, you know, with any of those particles that are present. You know, if there is a place for filtered air, it's hard. I mentioned that of like, you can keep horses inside with filtered air, but I'd say most of our barns don't have filtered air. So if that's not present, then, you know, a lot of times keeping them outside may be the better option. But once we get a little bit higher, and I guess, sorry, one other thing is I just control any extra dust of like, okay, we're having kind of these extra pollutants, this reduced air quality, you know, should I soak my hay? Is my hay dusty? Can that be adding on to it? If you have a dry lot that's dusty or sandy, like maybe we put a sprinkler out and we wet that down as well. So kind of like, I can't control the air quality, but these are some of the things I can control to help, you know, reduce that stress on the respiratory tract. And then above that, I'd say, you know, if you have access to a nebulizer, you know, and we're getting above 200, that nebulizer treatments can be valuable. And then, you know, if you're getting above 300, like you probably got to move them out of there. Like you're, you know, now you're a lot closer to, you know, those pollutants are going to be a lot stronger. Yeah.
close to the meltdown of the nuclear reactor.
So yeah, it's normally like, you know, if it's going to be a couple days with this, it's just better to relocate. Let's get them somewhere else. So I think those are all options and kind of deciding based on your situation and what conditions you have around you is going to help, you know, decide what's most pertinent.
So if the horse is, what are some like long-term effects? Do they get lung cancer like humans do? Or what does it look like?
Yeah, great question. And so I think a lot of it is they're like, we don't really know how horses are going to respond to this long term. I mean, we will see kind of some inflammation of those lung tissues. You know, it's really not an infection. It's just, you know, them having to like handle those contaminants and process them and, you know, having that elevated immune response to combat all of that. But really, I don't know if long term, they have very solid definitions of how that smoke inhalation. And I think it's also the extent of it, right? You think of, again, horses who are like at the location of the fire and even like that hot air, things like that can all be damaging to that respiratory tract versus, you know, horses like where I'm at, where we're just kind of getting the fallout of it. We're just getting, you know, we're on that lower level. So I think the overall recommendation we have is like, let's not find out, right? Let's try to keep that respiratory tract as healthy as possible. But I guess my assumption, again, without being a vet, would be that having any of that damage to the tissues of that respiratory tract is going to, you know, impact their breathing and that overall health of those tissues that support that necessary gas exchange for the work we normally ask our horses to do.
Well, while I've been sitting here reading, I've Googled a couple things. So to neutralize free radicals, you want to focus on a diet rich in antioxidants. So obviously you need to feed your horses blueberries and cranberries. But I actually started reading on this list. I'm like, who can afford that? And one of the great foods to feed them to help with free radicals is like carrots. So I'm like, we're all going to win now. Just feed your horses yes. more carrots. You'll be fine.
You have an excuse They'll for that. Fine. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm feeling good about Florida right now because we're sitting at 35. Now, our humidity is 150, Ooh. But, you know, the air quality is 35. So
of course, like, you're drowning. Yeah. You become a drowning victim breathing the air, but that's at least it's not unhealthy.
You can't breathe. It's so humid. But, you know, that's a different topic.
That's different. Yeah. Well, Michelle, Equine PhD is where they can find you on Facebook. I'm assuming do you have Instagram, any other way that people can reach out? And we are going to post this AQI in the show notes, so everybody will have a link to visit that.
Yeah, you want to download that chart. That'd be handy to keep around. Yeah,
I've already taken a picture of the show notes here so I can have it. Yeah, that makes my phone make so much more sense. I'm like, I always see air quality and I'm like, just because you give me a number doesn't mean I know what it means. So this is the perfect kind of, here it is, and for horse people. So, you know, air quality for dummies. Here we go.
Yes. And that was my goal. Try to simplify it. Cause yeah, again, we normally don't pay attention to it until now we're starting to see the orange and the red and we're like, oh, maybe this is something that I need to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us and coming back on, and we really appreciate it. And hope you get things under control up there, or they do.
Thank you. Likewise. Thanks for having me on again.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis for the entire Daily Dose Equine program. All of their feeds are minimally processed to retain full integrity of the original ingredients. They start with high-quality whole oats, whole barley, hay pellets, sunflower seeds, and beet pulp. The grains and soybeans are roasted for safety and then mixed with the remaining ingredients and bagged. With no fillers, no wheat, no corn, no soybean meal, no hulls, and no distiller's grains. Feed less, yet improve your body condition and energy. At Daily Dose Equine, they never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. To learn more, visit dailydoseequine.com, and you can find them at your Tractor Supplies and also at Chewy if you want to order them at Chewy. dailydoseequine.com.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Weird things just keep happening all over the planet. And so that is what we do, is we find the weird news stories from all over and report them to you. And I would like to thank the people that helped me gather up all these stories. All of you listeners, let's start with Jennifer, Delia, Melissa, Glenn, Jolyn, Janelle, Laureen, Rosemary, Jenny, Danielle, Ruth, Shelley, and Lindsay. That's one week. That's like a record for one week. I love it. So if you're ever looking into the news.
A lot of people can't sleep is what I'm thinking.
All of you. This is how that whole segment started. I couldn't sleep. And I was like, what the hell? So if you ever see a news story and you're like, that is super weird, email it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com.
I think the one I sent you was 1 a.m, so there you go.
I did get a midnight, middle of the night email from you. So yeah, I'm always scared to open it. Well, first we're going to start in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That's right. Did you know that they have casinos in Pittsburgh? I don't think I knew
casinos
that.
Casinos everywhere.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm from Georgia. We didn't have them anywhere. Okay. But apparently they have casinos in like gas stations and rest stops and stuff. So apparently there was a man, it was a casino, and it was called, it was a I can't find the name of the casino. It doesn't really matter because there was a guy who had kind of broken into a part of the casino and was trying to steal alcohol. I guess it was like just a bar off to the side. And he went in there and was like caught inside a closed restaurant, trying to steal bottles of alcohol off the wall. And he had like an armful of bottles of alcohol.
It's so easy to steal.
Right? And they were like, excuse me. You're stealing. You can't do that. And so the police came in and the security, the casino, grabbed him. And they found up to $4,000 worth of booze that he was stealing from this restaurant. So they're
must
like,
have good taste.
I know, right? They were like, put it all down. You're under arrest. And so he's being escorted to this security holding area inside the casino. And he was like, hey, I gotta pee. I need to use the bathroom. Can I please go to the bathroom? And so the police allowed him to go into the bathroom, which is where he decided to ignite a commercial grade firework and place it in a toilet and then proceed to explode the bathroom.
They didn't search him?
They didn't. They just grabbed him. I guess they pulled all the booze down. They were like, okay, he's clean, guys.
They won't do that again.
He must have had it taped to like the inside of his thigh or something. I don't know. But apparently there was an employee in the restroom who received minor injuries, was treated, later released, no problems there. But they did search his car afterwards and they did find a variety of commercial grade fireworks inside his car.
Just so. Waiting.
He was going to make some magic happen. That's right.
Booze is hard to steal unless you have a shopping cart. You can carry like four bottles before you start juggling, right?
He must have put him down his pants and had him hanging in his teeth because $4,000 worth of booze is hard to carry.
You know, I figured it out. That's 1,300 bottles of Boone's Farm.
Man. Well, weird news, just we're going to stay in Pennsylvania. This is exciting because, you know, there's like a senior center, like a nursing home in Indiana County in Pennsylvania. And it's nighttime and all the residents are in bed and everybody's tucked in for the night. And they hear a window break. Window breaks. And obviously the nurses like come running like, what is that? What is that? Oh, my God. It's a bear.
The bear came in, huh?
Bear broke in through the window and before they could get it out, walked around the building for 15 minutes, made
its
way
through the window. Must have been a big window.
It's a black bear. It was a black bear and they just broke it and went through. It made its way through several residents' rooms and even found a resident lying in their bed and walked up because they have this all on camera face to face while the sleeping senior.
Oh my God.
Bless his heart in his bed. And she looks up, she opens her eyes and there's a bear. Like, I mean, if you're in a senior center and you open your eyes to a bear, you must be like, well, this is it.
Yeah, this is it.
I'm already dead. I don't know, what are you going to do? So apparently it was running through the halls. It took 15 minutes. They were yelling. The nurses were yelling, shut your doors, shut your doors. Apparently it went into residential rooms, even got into somebody's bed. One of the ladies was like, I'm going to give him a sandwich. They're like, no, you can't feed it. Stop feeding. Do you know how they lured the bear out of the building?
Honey, please tell me it was honey.
Even better, they used Rice Krispie treats.
That's
so
perfect.
The Gaming Commission actually ended up setting up a trap using donuts and pastries and caught the bear the next day, and they have relocated him. He will not be visiting the seniors, but I just love the fact that he was like trying to snuggle with senior citizens and left the building because of a trail of Rice Krispie treats.
It worked.
I love me a Rice Krispie treat.
Are they ever going to be the same again, those seniors?
Oh, my God. What an exciting night that would be. All right. Well, this is, you know, the soccer, football is a really big deal in all countries, you know, in just is a really big deal. So there's a Champions League final. I guess that's like kind of a the World Series or the Super Bowl, the Champions League final, and Neil Remery and Sean Havbeck were going to go. They were like, we have to go. And they couldn't get tickets anywhere. They couldn't do anything. So what did they do? They went to the stadium 2 days, 2.5 days before the final and hid in the bathroom. They put out of order signs on the bathroom doors. Both of them hid in a bathroom stall for almost 2 days. They said they took a backpack full of snacks and drinks, and they just played on their phone, and there were employees coming in and out, and nobody was like, we should probably get that bathroom looked at before we have a giant stadium full of people. He said the lights were on the entire time and the sitting position was fairly uncomfortable. So sleeping was almost impossible. And so physically, he said it was very physically and mentally difficult. But as soon as the fans heard, they heard the fans using the toilets on that day, they came out. They were like, we're here. And they got to watch the whole freaking game. They watched the whole freaking game. The only reason they got caught, they didn't get caught. They went and called a Belgian broadcaster and like told their story on.
Of course, everybody needs their 15 minutes, right?
On a news cruise, yeah. So BBC Sports is now approaching them about doing a segment on them. So they also wanted to let them know that their team won 5-0. So it was totally worth it.
I don't think it was worth it, actually. Being in a bathroom for 2 days, in a public bathroom for 2 days.
No. No.
I'm voting no.
No. Hard pass. Okay, well, this is the guy. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say he probably didn't get the job. Okay, so state police, and we are in Connecticut, okay? So state police were conducting, like, the speed enforcement, and they had their lasers out, and they're speed checking everybody. And a driver in a Mercedes was traveling at a high rate of speed. And they think in excess of 100 miles an hour. So whoop, whoop, they light up, they go to get him, he takes off. And he takes off and he got up to 132 miles an hour, weaving on a freeway in and out of traffic. So like that police chase. I'm sorry. I love watching police chases on the like TikTok videos because it's do you really? Well, this is
the perfect one.
It's so fun to see how they're going to end it. Like what's going to happen? Oh, my God. Everybody always gets caught. This guy was no different. 132 miles an hour, weaving in and out of traffic, making unsafe lane changes, running from the police. He had a whole police chase going on and went for miles and miles, and they eventually got him stopped. Okay. They contacted the owner of the vehicle, and the owner explained that a family member was driving it during the test. So I guess they just called like his grandma, and he's like, God, my son taking my car. So they finally got him stopped. I don't know how it doesn't say, which is my favorite part of finding out how police chase ended. Did they like spike strip him? Did they T-bone him and spin him around? I don't know. But anyway, they got him. They pulled him over, you know, like guns drawn, you know, get out of your car. And he's like, I'm late. I have a job interview.
Yeah, my guess is he didn't get it either.
I don't think he made it to the interview. I do have a fairly inappropriate one that I will give you in the post show, but I just felt like this one really needed no explanation. It just, the headline is enough to tell you, but the TSA, Transportation Safety Administration, is that what it is? TSA, is urging people. This is the headline on a news channel. And wherever this is, I can't tell what city it is. Hartford, Connecticut. Wow, we stayed in Connecticut and Pennsylvania. TSA is urging people, please stop trying to use your Costco card for a real ID. It's not going to work.
It's worth a lot of things. It's very valuable, that Costco card.
You do realize that more than one person has had to try to use a Costco ID card if they're having to release a news flash about it.
That's funny. And could you please note also that we did not visit Florida?
It has the gold star on it. That's why people are using it.
That's funny.
Sorry, go ahead.
You can buy an 80 pack of toilet paper, but it will not get you on a plane.
Yeah, you can try to take them wherever you want to go, but yeah, good luck. By the way, apparently the real IDs are designated with the white star and the yellow circle, and Costco has a white card with a gold star, so it's not going to work, people. Not going to work.
I just made a point to note that we did not visit Florida today. Just wanted to bring that up.
Oh my God. We didn't go to Florida, Georgia, or Oklahoma, or Australia. No, I mean,
we're
it's
doing
a miracle.
Good. We're doing now. We did start with Florida, you know, with the whole ant that's going to kill you thing. But, you know, other
that's
than that,
true.
It was fine.
So, that was your fault. Well, the one I'm going to do in the post show, I'll have to figure out where it is because it's a BBC story.
Oh, okay.
So we are going to go outside. Amsterdam in the post show.
All right.
Here you go.
Perfect. Well, we're going to be back tomorrow with the Reigning Association episode for you. And also, Jennifer needs some ads. Get them in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Send your really bad ads into her. She does need a few. And we'd love it. Jamie and I would love it if we didn't have to talk at all during Really Bad Ads on Friday. And they were all recorded by you guys.
Read your own people.
I don't know
Come
that we've
on.
Ever had that. We've been close, but I don't think we've ever had the whole thing was read by other people. We'd love that if you'd hop on that.
We give away good prizes. You double the entries if you read it yourself. Triple the entries if you read it in an accent other than your own.
And if you just grab your phone, go to your browser and type in horseradionetwork.com, go there. There's a voicemail button. Just click the voicemail button, record it, and it magically gets sent to us. You don't even have to email it. So that's the easiest way to do it. Just do it that way.
I've been meaning to leave messages for you in the middle of the night.
Oh, well, I wanted to say that the other thing is if you want to comment, I know some of you comment in the auditor room, but if you want to comment about an article or guest we had or article we talked about or one of our segments or whatever, just leave us a voicemail and we'll play it on the air. We'd like to do that too. So I wanted to mention that. In the meantime, auditors, hold on for the post show.
Spay, neuter, geld, everybody. Don't use your Costco card. Don't speed to a job interview. Don't hide in the toilet.